Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, the Lakers have three finalists for their head coaching job. We've done three scouting reports on those three guys. So who do we think should get the gig? We'll tell you next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, no matter how you get your podcasts, where you get your podcasts. Never behind a paywall, ever. Always free, fresh content for you, ready to go. And if you subscribe to Locked On Lakers on YouTube, you can get it a little bit early on most days. The audio product trails the video product, and you get to see us with the video, so that's good too. Plenty to cover, Andy, today, including our choice for who we think should be the winning finalist for the Lakers coaching job, what Kyrie Irving's tenuous future in Brooklyn has to do with the Lakers, and perhaps more. But first,
Brian, you mentioned the YouTube channel, and I wanted to read a comment quickly from Pop That 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. As many of the Laker podcasts have shifted their focus to the current playoffs, somehow you guys have managed to keep us refreshing Lakers content daily without seemingly regurgitating previous videos. Keep up the great work. This is a really flattering comment that allows us to thank all of you for listening through. You know, the Lakers have not played, you know, they haven't played in almost 2 months, and they've not played a meaningful game in at least 3 months. And there has not necessarily, been a lot of daily events of late. And Brian and I really have tried, like, it's been a focal point for us to try to keep coming up with different angles on all of this stuff. And it is not easy. It's often a fun challenge, but it's not an easy one. And we appreciate knowing, A, that people are picking up on it and that y'all like it. And B, we just appreciate you being there with us through all this. So thank you.
Three scouting reports, Andy, we have done for the three head coaching candidates for the Lakers. We've done one for Terry Stotts. We've done one for Kenny Atkinson. We have done one for Darvin Ham. Now that we've gone through all of these names, who is your third place guy? Who's last on your list of guys that you want to see be the head coach of the Lakers? Assuming these finalists are
right.
Yeah, there's no late entry.
Probably Kenny Atkinson. Mm. Just because based on what we know about him, he seems like, I don't know, the least natural organic fit on paper. And that may be me reading too much into what is a very small sample size in Brooklyn, with, you know, a very difficult circumstances that he dealt with, whether with a rebuilding team or he developed this reputation as a player development guy, or the one season in Brooklyn, the first one with Kyrie and KD, where KD didn't even play at all. Kyrie wasn't available much. And it seemed like those guys wanted him out, or at the very least didn't necessarily want him to stay.
Right. And that Atkinson didn't really like it either. Like, he kind of wanted out too.
So, I mean, it's not because of anything bad I've heard about Atkinson. Actually has a pretty good reputation around the league.
Especially among coaches. Yeah.
He's the biggest combination of, I don't quite get the fit and I don't know a ton about him. I may very well be wrong, and I don't hate the idea of bringing in Atkinson, but he would be number three for me.
See, it's interesting. I have a lot of the same reservations about Atkinson, and I think he has the lowest floor for all the coaches the Lakers could hire on this list, all three of them. It's not like a 25 person, but I think that your concerns are warranted. I am somewhat kind of when it comes to Atkinson, I feel a little bit better because he wouldn't get hired without LeBron's sign-off. Even if LeBron prefers Darvin Ham by all reports, they're not going to hire any of these guys if LeBron or AD are like, no, absolutely not. We're going to David Blatt him on the way out the door. So I recognize the problem with the floor, but I just think the upside there in terms of being able to do something creative with a variety of rosters, if you have that sign off and if you have that buy-in and can develop a good relationship with LeBron and AD, is higher with Atkinson than Stotts. I feel like Stotts is just so safe and so ceiling capped that to whatever degree your coaching matters, I don't think you're going to get anything extra from Terry Stotts. I think that's why he's my third place choice. I feel like this group needs a little bit of upside in their coach. Where they are now, if they really want to contend, I understand the potential is there for the disaster in a lot of different ways. I feel like whatever that extra 5% that a coach can bring, they're going to need it. And I feel like Stotts probably is less likely to deliver it under a wider variety of circumstances than Atkinson. So I have Stotts at 3. I have Atkinson at 2, mostly for all the reservations that you had. I'm assuming you have Stotts at 2.
Yeah, I do have Stotts at 2. And I understand what you mean about the lack of upside in terms of, I guess, the ceiling or something unexpected from him. But where I do think he has upside over Atkinson is A, he's just more experienced. Yeah. B, he's been through, you know, playoff runs. He's actually, you know, as much as Portland never got past a certain point, they were pretty consistently competitive without always working with a ton of talent there. He often had a lot of injuries that he's dealing with. He's also known as a really creative offensive guy. Mm-hmm, and this is a team that has really needed help with that, even the year they won a championship. And that's where, in some respects, I think the upside could actually come because they need that, and you know Stotts can help deliver it.
Yeah,
he is by.
I will say though, Atkinson, especially with what he had an offense that moved the ball. It was very egalitarian. It was very much kind of like, it's not surprising to me, I'll put it this way, that he's on the Warriors staff now.
Right. He also though coached in a style that LeBron teams never play in. So in some respects, that whole egalitarian thing doesn't really move me because Touché. I know it's not going to happen. So I don't. Stotts has been more creative in a way that I actually think will be more likely to be utilized. He is totally unexciting as a hire. He is basically bizarro Frank Vogel. They will need defensive guys on his staff. He is not a guy that you envision getting the Lakers back into the championship hunt consistently, much less winning a championship. But then again, the same thing could be said with Frank Vogel. They actually won a championship.
Well, I think I will say this, and we'll get to Darvin Ham after the break, because obviously both of us have him as our top choice. I don't think any of these choices are bad. If you, once you make this decision, you put the right roster around them, that you really have a process that develops the skills and plays to the skills that you hired this coach for. You know, Stotts is a good coach. The floor there is very reasonable.
Pronounced.
Yeah. I mean, if you give Terry Stotts a good team, he'll give you a good result.
Yeah.
We are going to be frustrated with any of them. We will bitch about them on the podcast. You will bitch about them, listener, on the comments page and on Twitter and all that. None of that is going to stop, even if we hire Darvin Ham, who is the number one choice for both of us, and we'll explain why next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. Okay, this is something I did not expect. I didn't know this was in the works. I did not even know this was possible. But
the Terry Stotts flavored Built Bar.
It's very safe. It's a safe flavor.
Doesn't taste like much, but it does the job.
Yeah, I did not even know that this could be done, but the scientists / chefs / bakers at Built Bar, Brian, they've done it again. Really excited. Built granola bars are here. They've got three
GTFO.
Flavors. Yeah. Chocolate peanut butter, coconut, chocolate coconut, white chocolate berry. You can get all three flavors, by the way, with a mix box at built.com. They're different from the bars and the puffs. They are loaded with granola. It's the perfect combination of crunch and chewiness, but just like the bars and the puffs, they're packed with protein, collagen protein specifically, which your body absorbs better. They're covered in 100% real chocolate and just 150 calories and only 4 grams of sugar, but 15 grams of protein. That is the good stuff. Granola bars will change. The Built granola bars will change your world. Built, they've cracked the code to a better granola bar. They're the perfect snack for the lunches or to take on the road. Just if you're waiting for a healthy, superior tasting granola bar, this is the one. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCK15, 15% off at built.com.
Okay, so both of us, of the three candidates, I doubt this will be a surprise to anybody who's listened to the show of late. Both of us, were we in charge, would hire Darvin Ham. I went kind of deep on Atkinson. I'm curious, why? We probably have similar reasoning, but why do you like Darvin over the other guys?
Well, I mean, as we've talked about before, there's a bit of a knowledge there with him just from him being on Mike Brown's staff. And the periodic times where I did talk with him, I found him really smart, really good communicator. I found his explanations very clear, easy to understand. He's always had that reputation as a communicator. He's been very well respected around the league for a long time. Like, he has the rep of a guy that's put in the work and really deserves a shot. And also too, Brian, I know there's a certain amount of wish casting best case scenarios on him because he's never been a head coach before. So there's a blank slate element, and that can often be really exciting. It's like the way fans always want the backup quarterback that they've never seen play before, because it's easy to imagine that guy's great, particularly when your starter sucks. But what I like about him though, is he has fit the mold of a lot of coaches that have succeeded of late. You know, first timers, but ones that you know put in their work as an assistant. It's a bonus if they've been an assistant on successful teams, but also the bonus, Brian, he's played in the league. And while I don't think that is an exclusive need when you hire one of these guys, I think it matters. And, you know, it's interesting, by most reports we've heard, whether it's LeBron wanting Mark Jackson or LeBron wanting Doc Rivers or LeBron wanting Darvin Ham, he has supposedly only been pushing for a former player. And, you know, he, by all accounts, was big on Jason Kidd. He bonded well with Ty Lue. Mm-hmm. You know, he's bonded with David Fizdale, who didn't play in the league, or Phil Handy, that didn't play in the league, although Phil at least played professionally and got some NBA tryouts. But, you know, those guys have never been his head coach either. But for the most part, it seemed like LeBron has bonded most with coaches that played in the league or been most intrigued by coaches who played in the league. And I doubt he's singular in that regard.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, the LeBron aspect of it does matter. And, you know, people are all over the place, you know, in the comments section of this. I've seen people saying, like, you guys want Darvin, you know, you point out LeBron supports him so you can blame LeBron. No, it matters if your star signs off on your coach.
I think, like, people know by now, if we thought LeBron's opinion shouldn't matter, we would say LeBron's opinion shouldn't matter.
And he shouldn't get to make the decision, but it does matter. You know, he needs to sign off on all three of the guys, even though if he has a preference, he doesn't always get what he wants. But I also think LeBron's track record is such that he respects those guys. When he goes and kind of vouches for somebody in that way, when he puts in, it's partially because I think he wants to be coached by that person. He believes that person will coach him in a way that will bring out the best in him and, you know, potentially, obviously by extension, the team, as opposed to being a guy who LeBron actually gets to be the head coach. He, you know, treating him like a puppet or anything like that. So I think the sign off is both important and a positive in terms of getting the best performances and the best buy-in out of LeBron. I like Darvin because, you know, I mentioned that floor ceiling thing with Stotts and Atkinson. I feel like Darvin's got the best combo of both of those things. we don't know exactly what his ceiling is, but I don't think his floor is any lower than the other two. I think if you give them comparable rosters, that Darvin Ham is just as capable of coaching a team to the same record as Terry Stotts, just as capable of coaching that team to the same record as Kenny Atkinson. And because we don't quite have that track record, there's certainly the potential there. We don't know what his upside is. I am projecting 100%, you know, admit that. But there's also projection with Atkinson and Stotts because people aren't the same from job to job to job. I just feel like, you know, I don't think he's going to do a bad job. I feel like he'd be a good coach, a solid coach, like most of the coaches in the league, with a lot of potential upside there where the Lakers could get off of this treadmill for 6 or 7 years, perhaps, if things go well.
Well, that's actually, I mean, look, the truth is his floor could be lower than Stotts.
It could be. It absolutely could be.
We don't really know.
Absolutely could be.
Like I said, I have gotten, I've always been very open-minded about the idea of a first-timer.
I think that if you have the right first-timer,
yeah,
it's fine.
Right. In the same way, New Orleans recently brought in Stan Van Gundy, who was very experienced. He took a team to the finals, and he lasted, I believe, 1 year. It didn't work out at all. And it's not like you could look at Stan Van Gundy and say he had no experience or he's never had success before. My point in bringing him up is just the idea of, and sometimes you just don't know. And with Darvin Ham, I could end up, or you could end up, shocked by how seemingly inept he was as a head coach once this thing begins. But I just feel like looking at a lot of these guys who have succeeded lately, it just feels like if you put in the time and you build up a reputation while putting in the time, generally speaking, the buzz around you, because Willie Green had that buzz. You know, Ime Udoka for a long time has had that buzz. Ty Lue has had that buzz. You know, generally speaking, I think the people who pay attention to this stuff closely, they know what they're talking about.
I like that too. Like when we talked to Kane Pittman with Locked On Bucks, and you know, Kevin Arnovitz at ESPN, who knows assistant coaches around the league as well or better than probably 99% of the people you're going to talk to in the media. They all talk to Ham's strength as a communicator, as somebody who sets clear boundaries, as somebody who is trustworthy, both as from a player standpoint, but also like through an organization and all that. And you know, he's clearly not an X's and O's moron. It's like, but does he need to be, you know, a wunderkind in that way? Not really. The job of head coach is management. It is doing those things, you know, that managers do. And with that basketball acumen, the right touch on an out of bounds call, or figuring out the right rotations and all the politics, but also the basketball that go with it. I feel like those skills that keep coming up when you talk about Ham with people who have covered him, who know him, who talk about him with other people, those skills are really important. I think play well in a city like LA.
Yep, absolutely. Ever since names started coming out linked to the Lakers, Ham has been, other than when Sam Cassell was briefly linked to the team, Darvin Ham's been the one that I've been the most enthusiastic about from the beginning, and it hasn't changed.
It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense as long as you're okay with the idea of a first-time head coach taking this gig. And I am. I just am. I feel like these guys come better prepared than ever for this. And I don't think four seasons that Atkinson coached, for example, make him way better qualified. There will be moments in those first couple months where Darvin gets exposed for some level of inexperience, where he handles something in a way that he looks back at it and says, I should have done X, you know, Y when I did X. But I don't think that any of those things will be fatal. And I think overall the Lakers will get an excellent coach. And ultimately, the roster is a far bigger issue, I think, than any of these three guys. I think, you know, they got to figure out this roster. And they have a much longer road to travel to make the roster good enough for the coaching hire to matter at all, no matter who they pick.
Real quick before we go sure. to, I'm guessing Kyrie and the Nets and the connection to the Lakers. We both said Darvin Ham is our first choice. Do you think that's who they're going to hire?
I do.
So do I.
I think this is where they've been pointing.
I know Stotts just got a second interview.
Yeah, I think I do. I think if they don't, it will be Stotts. But because I think he is the safest, lowest risk, hit the floor running, unsexy, but makes some sense. Atkinson, I think, is more of a wild card than both of them. I think he's more of a wild card than Ham, having been a head coach before. I do think they'll hire Ham in the end. Also good because Ham lends itself to far more puns and fun headlines than either Atkinson or Stotts.
So I can hardly wait.
Oh, well.
Oh, Jesus.
Hamtastic.
Oh, my God. Kill me.
All right. Speaking of things that could kill you, what about a long-term sign-and-trade deal with Kyrie Irving, bringing him to the Lakers on for a long-term deal, Andy? Huh? How hamtastic would that be? We'll talk about it next. All right. You have been a vocal critic of Kyrie Irving, apparently the Nets aren't so I on him anymore either.
Well, I think they've been paying attention to the deteriorating relationship between Kyrie and Nike, as an example. Like they seem to be over him.
Reports this week from the New York Daily News that the Nets are not necessarily tripping over themselves, Andy, to give Kyrie a long-term extension. For people who don't know, Kyrie has a 36 and change, I believe, player option for next year. The assumption has always been he would opt out. The Nets would give him a max or near max deal, I guess. And you go on with life. This year seemed to have changed that narrative a little bit.
Yeah, this per Christian Winfield of the New York Daily News, quote, the Nets championship hopes hinge on an amicable solution with Irving, whose personal decision not to get vaccinated and unpredictable injury history, I would say unpredictable blank, have left the Nets hesitant. That aside was me, not Winfield. And now, according to a source familiar with the Nets thought process, outright unwilling to give him a long-term extension. He is currently eligible for a five-year contract extension worth $246 million. Brian, I don't know what the exact number would be with a brand new team next season if he just played out this deal, then got
less
a new long-term deal.
It would probably around $200 million or something.
That was my guess, was $200 million, in that range.
No.
This also, too, by the way, could theoretically have long-term ramifications for the future with Kevin Durant, because those guys arrived as a package deal. KD seems to have had the most patience with all things that come with Kyrie, but you know, it would be very interesting. This stuff will eventually come out if they do part ways, how much sign off they had from KD. But you know, that is another story for another day if it even ends up happening.
There are two things about this that I think are interesting, particularly relative to kind of how we talk about the Lakers. The first one is the possibility, because it's already happened. I mean, it's on the board for, you know, our friends at Bet Online. It's all over the, you know, the interwebs and all that.
Well, Adam Zagoria, Brian, he's a contributor to New York Times Sports, NJ.com, Forbes. He tweeted out a few days ago, Nets GM Sean Marks and Lakers exec, my God, just put a little respect on Rob Pelinka's name, at a meeting at the Marriott Marquis.
The entire goddamn department.
Lakers exec, my God.
The whole damn band is white.
Lakers exec Rob Pelinka had a meeting at the Marriott Marquis this week at the NBA Combine. Unclear what they discussed.
Right, and my assumption was they were probably talking about Kenny Atkinson.
They could have been, but
you know, getting right. Or Andy, were they talking about Russell Westbrook for Kyrie Irving? My problem for your problem. Let's play this game because I believe the last line from Bet Online was that if Kyrie isn't a net, it was if the Nets say net on Kyrie, it was, I believe, 7-1 that he lands on the Lakers.
Yeah, last time I looked. And just to lay out a little bit more parameters for this hypothetical we're about to play, we got tweeted at Cam Brothers by Rob Siegel at Rob C. Siegel. After reading the story about the Nets being unwilling to offer Kyrie a long-term contract, would you consider a Kyrie for Russ and 2 first-round picks? Thoughts? Brian, would you like to hear my response to Rob, or do you want to just
is
talk
it safe? Is it safe for the rules?
Of sure. Yeah.
David Locke doesn't want us going blue.
No, it isn't. Okay. My response was absolutely, it was kid friendly.
All right, go ahead.
I responded, I would not in a million years give Kyrie a long-term deal. So that's off the table if it is a consideration for this hypothetical. Would I trade Russ straight up for Kyrie and his one remaining year? Yes. Would I include a pick to make it happen? Maybe. 2? No.
Mm-mm. Oh, God. Like, from a basketball standpoint, Kyrie's skill, and I realize it wasn't perfect with Kyrie and LeBron the first time around, particularly from a, relationship standpoint, and Kyrie has gotten less predictable since then, I would say.
Which is hilarious because he actually considers himself like the wise, mature adult version of himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not buying that. But from a basketball standpoint, neither one of those, it's not like Westbrook plays any defense either. Kyrie could actually do what Westbrook was designed to do, which is take a lot of offensive pressure off of LeBron James. I mean, For all the talk of Kyrie's eccentricities and I think often selfishness and self-aggrandizing behavior.
His third eye open, Brian.
Oh, my God. He has a tremendous opinion of his.
I don't even think he keeps his first and second eye open. I think it's
just the third one. There are very few people on this planet that I think I would enjoy a road trip with less than Kyrie. He is a tremendous basketball player.
Oh yeah.
As an offensive force, he is just transcendently good.
He is the best finisher at his size I've ever seen and probably ever will see. He's incredible.
I mean, there is a reason that one of his nicknames, one of the three nicknames listed on Basketball Reference, is Ankle Taker. The other one is World Be Flat, which is just spectacular.
Yes, it is.
I would do a year. I would certainly do a year with Kyrie. If I'm signing up for a year with Westbrook anyway, I'd much rather give it a shot with Kyrie.
I'd make that deal. Sure.
And I would do a year and a year. I would commit to 2 years with Kyrie. I might even commit to 2 years with Kyrie and throw in a pick. I am not committing longer than that because a 4-year deal, a sci-fi, whatever, caps him in the set all that aside.
Brian,
be in the Kyrie Irving business for 4 or 5 years.
I was just going to say, if you go the full Monty on this thing, you're talking about a potentially sign and traded extended Kyrie Irving, which means this year plus 5
right.
more.
And
that's
again,
the,
we're
that's
not
the getting, 6-year experience.
We're
Brian.
Not getting into the mechanics of like what that means, like from the hard cap. No, we're just talking about the concept here.
No, what it means is 6 years with Kyrie.
Kyrie Irving. That's what we're talking
that's
about.
That's what here. It means.
That seems like a disaster waiting to happen. And it gets to the larger point of the days of you do whatever it takes to get the transcendent star and keep the transcendent star are over, particularly when that transcendent star, whether it's because of on-court performance and in the form of like James Harden, who is still obviously excellent, but has a commitment.
I don't know if he's excellent.
Fair point. We can debate the adjective. But the commitment to fitness, the commitment to, like, is that going to age well? No.
The commitment to whatever team he's on, not getting bored after a year.
All of it. None of it looks like it's going to age well. And, you know, or a guy who's just, you know, committed, but breaking down where you know, I'd be nervous about giving Damian Lillard that kind of contract.
What do you do with Zion? About
Zion, Bradley Beal, all that stuff. You just can't do that with him or anyone because you put yourself in a position where you know there are going to be problems with it on the back end. And, you know, especially in the case of the Lakers, like, are you giving yourself a title shot with that? Like, you know, what happens when LeBron goes, can you do Kyrie and Anthony Davis for 3 years? Like, as your, I don't know. I just, Kyrie is too much of a risk to give that much money to. As you'd be lucky if he retires. Like, that would be the thing he would do for you as a favor when he's 32, is decide he doesn't want to play anymore. Godspeed, and go away.
Well, Brian, here's really the issue. You mentioned you hope that at like 32, 33, decides he doesn't want to play anymore and he retires on the back end. The problem, and, you know, I like to consider myself pretty athlete friendly. I'm Yes. somebody that believes that athletes should have space to be themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't believe these guys are robots, all of that stuff. I do think it's a problem, though, when your max player doesn't want to play basketball full time. And I've been long convinced that's the case with Kyrie. I don't
More than anything, he just doesn't want to play basketball.
I don't.
He wants to play 40 games a year.
Right, and he wants a full salary for doing
it. Right. Now, this is an interesting hypothetical. If Kyrie said, I will show up for 40 games plus the playoffs, pay me half of what you would normally pay me, like give me a $100 million contract for, you know, 5 years, would you do that? Where, like, everybody understands the rules before he starts.
Is Kyrie amenable to going over the calendar, which days he's going to be there and which days he's going to miss, just right. So you can plan this thing out? I mean, like, is he willing to say, look, these 2 weeks, I just can tell you right now, February, I'm often in a bad headspace.
Right.
So I'm going to need the first two, like basically the first 2 weeks leading up to the All-Star break. And then we can tack on the All-Star break. I kind of want February off.
Right. But I feel like if I knew the rules and everybody, like I actually might be willing to give that a whirl.
And then
the end of March through the playoffs is mandatory. Like we got to have you here for that. Like the last right. 15 games plus, but I mean, I can understand some of the issues of, you know, continuity and chemistry and all that, but at least everybody would know the rules.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess if everybody could get together and then, you know, go through a schedule and then you bring in a notary to like make this thing official. If you get him for half the price, half the games, and there's a little bit of organization around it, and in and of itself, I'm not sure Kyrie would, you know, agreed to not letting.
I'm fairly sure he would.
Fly.
Yeah, no, I don't think any of this is all just a. This is a you know, again, Andy, what season is this? It's thought exercise mm-hmm. season. That's what this is.
I love.
I'm just curious
because
it just occurred to me because you've talked about him as a part-time guy. What if you could pay him as a part-time player? Just an interesting workaround. Locked On Lakers can be found on YouTube. The Locked On Lakers YouTube channel is where you go to subscribe to all this stuff. Next week, we got some really fun stuff we already know we want to talk about, from super cogent comments from Magic Johnson, which is not something you say out loud very often. James Worthy talking about this team, and we got a couple good guests lined up as well. So we will see everybody next week. Have a great holiday weekend.
Rest in peace, Ray Liotta.
Yes.
One of the greats, man.
Yes.
One of the greats. Very bummed to hear about his passing.
That one sucked. Have a great weekend.